Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers. It's the final episode in our Love Unveiled series. Karen and I are thrilled to have you with us as we dive into the heart of what it means to create a culture of love. Throughout this series, we've explored love as an action, beyond just the feeling, uncovered the beauty of different love languages, and the rich tapestry of love described in Greek. In this episode, we'll shift our focus to practical applications. We're not just here to talk about love. We're here to inspire each other to take meaningful steps toward fostering loving connections. So grab your headphones, settle in, and let's dive into creating a culture of love.
A culture of love. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that so much because it empowers us. It shows us that we have agency over creating or not creating that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. As we explore creating a culture of love, one of the most essential areas to focus on is enhancing our communication.
Oh, my top number one priority. Must communicate.
How we communicate impacts our relationships, influences how we express love, resolve conflicts, and connect with those around us. By honing our ability to communicate clearly and honestly, we can lay the groundwork for deeper, more meaningful connections.
And that extends to communicating with ourselves, with love and kindness.
Yes, please.
The self-talk. Thank you very much.
How do you talk to yourself? When we express our thoughts and feelings clearly, we reduce the chance of misunderstandings that can lead to frustration and conflict. Clearly. Oh, it is a Brené Brown, clear is kind and unclear is unkind.
We want to express those things in a way that the listener can best receive it. Mm-hmm. It's not always about what we want to say, how we want to say it in the heat of when we want to say it. But sometimes you need to take a moment and think about who's the receiver. How do they receive information? How do they listen? Mm-hmm. And then making sure there's some mirroring going on so that there's understanding, clarity and understanding. Mm.
It's important for us to articulate our needs and expectations openly. Y'all not mind readers? This fosters environments where everybody feels seen, heard, and valued.
I don't know why it is so challenging for humans, even in the microcosm of a family. Why do we fall back into those patterns that we as children developed, which were most likely not great ways of communicating? How is it that 40 years later, that's still how the communication happens? That is fascinating to me, how some people just cannot get out of that. They cannot evolve their communication skills or get sucked back into patterns, right? Mm-hmm. Mm.
I think a part of that comes from honesty and trust. If you can't be honest with yourself, if you don't trust yourself, then your ability to communicate clearly and openly is hindered.
Yes. And you must feel a sense of safety, right?
Yeah.
And if you're in an environment where you don't feel accepted or you don't feel understood, part of that is maybe you haven't communicated who you are to feel understood. But there also may be an element of, I just don't feel emotionally or psychologically safe with this person.
Psychological safety. That's a whole episode in and of itself. I will have lessons from the upside down.
Oh, yes, you will.
Safety is not just about physical safety.
No.
PSA.
As a matter of fact, I mean, you know.
It's important. Physical safety, absolutely.
Yes.
But Psychological scars carry a different weight.
Emotional safety, psychological safety, just as relevant, important.
All right, Karen and I took a little trip back on our communication skills.
Back on the map.
Expressing gratitude and affirming others can profoundly impact our relationships and even the broader community. When we acknowledge others' contributions, efforts, or inherent worth, we validate their feelings and strengthen the bonds between us.
Anytime you show gratitude for someone else's perspective or their gifts, what they offer, that just bolsters their desire to contribute, you know, and have that be a reciprocal relationship.
It's the gratitude, positive feedback loop.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
We are recognizing their value, which enhances their self-esteem, their self-worth, and pours into someone else, mm-hmm. that appreciation and affirmation.
Yes.
Combining clear communication with appreciation and affirmation creates a nurturing environment where love can flourish. Now, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Now that we got our good communication skills, we worked on them.
Mm.
I want us to explore conflict resolution as an act of love.
Mm. Well, when you are raised where conflict is not allowed or conflict is unsafe or not welcome, you don't seem to learn that. But yes, that is a hugely important skill, mm-hmm. to be able to come to a debate or a disagreement with the attitude that no matter how we disagree, we can still resolve this in, mm-hmm. some way that's acceptable to both parties.
Approaching conflict with a loving mindset is about prioritizing relationships. Loving mindset promotes understanding. In conflict, it's easy to become defensive or reactive.
So easy.
But keeping a loving mindset encourages us to listen to different perspectives.
Mm. Yours is not the only perspective. No matter how righteous you feel, and you might be very, very right, that's really not even the issue.
Ooh. A loving mindset helps de-escalate tensions. Instead of responding with anger or frustration, love inspires patience and kindness. I love kindness.
What's not to love about kindness? What I was referencing before is there's just so many triggers for people from childhood, mm-hmm. trauma, ways in which they didn't get their needs met. That can be very emotionally volatile and vulnerable, and then we do get defensive. Being aware of that in the moment is really helpful.
Yeah. And a loving mindset paves the way for forgiveness. We can let go of our grudges and focus on healing rather than holding on to past grievances.
My friends, forgiveness is about you.
It really, I mean, I don't know. Where did we get it all mixed up, right? Where forgiveness is about the other person.
Right. Withholding forgiveness is you drinking the poison.
You know,
right?
They still like going on with their life.
You holding on to that toxic resentment. You have the keys the whole time you're in the jail. You have the keys, and just look on the other hand.
Door probably won't even lock. You just closed it and thought you were locked up. Door open. Yeah. We're out.
Oh, forgiveness. So terrible. It's for you. It's not for them.
Okay, Karen. How can we look at conflict resolution as an act of love? One of Karen's favorite things to say is pause. Y'all, there is power in the pause.
Yes. Take a breath. Take a moment.
Take several deep breaths if you have to.
Get yourself grounded.
Center your thoughts to stay calm and reduce your stress. In those times when the situation is too overwhelming, don't hesitate to temporarily step away to regain your composure.
Put a pin in it.
That pause.
Put a pin in it.
Important. Oh, yeah. We need to talk about this, but I actually cannot talk about this right now.
Not
an act of love if I continue going on this path.
Right. That's deep self-awareness.
Another way to cultivate conflict resolution as an act of love is to focus on solutions, not problems. Oh my goodness.
Mm.
There was an agency we used before where the guy was complaining to his manager, like, this doesn't work right, da, da, da. And the manager let them get it all out. And they said, that's a lot of problems. What's the solution?
Mm. Because we can just hang out in problem bill all day long. Like, if we're not, right.
Okay.
You'll find that a lot, I think, in a work environment.
Mm-hmm.
You can air your challenges and problems, but come with a solution also.
Questions like, what can we do to make this better? How can we move forward? This encourages teamwork and reinforces the idea of maintaining a positive relationship.
Yes. It's got to be collaborative. Not one person doing the fixing.
This is how we will fix this. How
right,
we will.
Exactly.
No.
This
is at least for me personality wise. If you tell me this is how we're going to do it, I will throw a silent temper tantrum and not do it that way.
Yes, you will. You'll be like, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home
right now. Figure it out. How that plan gonna work without me? Like,
oh, you are. Sometimes I'm like, she's 7 years old.
I will throw this temper tantrum. I will take all of my toys.
In that,
get my Barbie. Like,
give me that Barbie.
You do not get to play in my sandbox anymore. Okay. Back to conflict resolution as an act of love. Another way to cultivate it is to maintain respect, regardless of the conflict. Seek to uphold respect for the other person. This means consciously steering clear of verbal abuse, mm-hmm. sarcasm that undermines sincerity, or a condescending tone that belittles the other person's perspective.
We're not talking about personal attacks. We don't want to make it personal.
Oh my goodness.
We're talking about the issue or the behavior, the thing that's over there that is causing the issue. Just don't attach it to the person.
Focus on the behavior, not like
the condition, the challenge.
Or sometimes in conflict we look at things or how someone reacts as a personality thing, like, oh, I could just speak very sternly, but what is the behavior you're trying to address? Because my tone is my tone. Like, did I belittle you? Was there sarcasm?
And you know, I think that's, you bring up a really good point, because it really helps to ask questions.
Yeah.
If there's something something could have been misread, misinterpreted, right? So tone sometimes doesn't come across well. I mean, don't even get me started on text messages. Like how words can mean 17 different things depending upon where you put the emphasis.
Yes.
So I just think it's important to be very clear, and to get that clarity, you ask questions.
Mm-hmm. And in the leadership class I just finished, a question she said, especially as you're talking about misunderstandings and communication, the question is, do you have a problem with my content or the delivery? Because I can change both.
I just need
to know.
Content or delivery. I can change both.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. Oh, I love that.
It's just
I'm just ruminating in that one. Can we change the content? I mean, no, we can change the delivery, but we can change what we're saying, say it differently, mm-hmm. just in a different way, different form to bring clarity.
Or as my grandma used to say, it ain't what you say, but how you say it.
Mm.
So we're using our lens of
love
in conflict resolution to transform challenging situations into opportunities for growth and connection.
Because no relationship is without conflict.
I don't even know what relationship. It's not a relationship. What you mean? A situationship? Because that's the only thing. Like,
oh my God.
If it's a situationship, then probably no conflict. Because, you know, everything's rainbows.
I mean, there were years and years that went by that I did not speak up how I felt about things, and everything seemed smooth and hunky-dory, and I was like, well,
till the bottom fell out.
You cannot keep things inside. It builds resentment. It builds deep unhappiness. Don't be afraid of conflict. Bottling up the conflict is a time bomb. It's
right.
Gonna blow.
Like, ignoring the conflict doesn't make it go away.
It doesn't make it go away. In fact, it increases it. When it's the right time, bring it up in a calm, safe, loving space and talk about it. Nobody's perfect and no relationship is perfect. There are going to be conflicts and bumps. That's just how it is with humans.
In relation with two people, there's going to be a conflict.
there's going to be some rubbing.
Yeah. As we are talking about attending to the well-being of others by approaching conflict resolution with love, we cannot forget about ourselves.
We should also prioritize self-care so that we can become more resilient, compassionate, and able to contribute positively to our communities.
I heard something on the webinar I was on about somebody who teaches adults self-regulation in response to their children's dysregulation. Because if everybody's dysregulated,
it's a mess.
It's going to be a hot mess. It's that is a not mess. Pretty. So instead of how to teach your kids self-regulation, no, how about the parents? How about the adults?
Can you model this,
make
please?
Sure they have self-regulation skills.
I love that.
And then you can teach it to your kids. But you're modeling it. And
we'd
you're
be so dysfunctional. So right? Dysfunctional. When you think about your toddler or a toddler in your care throwing a temper tantrum, you can't match their energy. Mm. We are going to get nowhere. When you approach it calmly, let them have their moment. Don't right. try to talk them out of their moment. Just no, let them just have their moment.
Yeah, just observe.
I think it goes all the way into adulthood when you encounter adults.
Yes.
Having very similar experiences to temper tantrums. Let them have it.
Just let them do it. They're going to wear themselves out at some point. That's how I feel. I'm like, just keep going. At some point, you're going to peter out. And it's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, and you're going to be okay. And I didn't have to engage.
Yeah, and I'm going to walk away from you while you do this.
And I think that's a very important piece of the significance of self-care, your boundaries. What are your boundaries? Do right. you engage in every battle?
Right. Can you regulate your emotions in reaction to those mm-hmm. situations?
As we regulate our emotions, another component that Karen and I talk about a lot is the importance of disconnecting and recharging. We cannot run on all cylinders all the time. I'm not a robot.
That's not good for anybody. I'm not. It's definitely not good for conflict and resolution.
Right. Or building a culture of love. Oh. Like, we just given so much to everybody and we have not had a chance to
refill, rest.
Refill, right? Relax, do nothing.
Just be, just mm-hmm. live, just be, do something that brings you joy or take a freaking nap.
Naps are great.
Meditation, anything that brings you joy. Get out in nature.
Yeah.
We must take care of ourselves to show up.
Mm. Okay. So this episode is moving along quicker than I imagined, but I'm okay with that because we just did a marathon.
But there's a lot of information.
That's usually what happens. So as we embrace self-care, we also embrace a deeper sense of unity, reminding ourselves that caring for one another begins with taking care of ourselves. Today's song truly embodies unity and love. It's a timeless classic that reminds us of the importance of coming together. It is Love Train by the OJs. Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify.
Oh, it's good. I love that song.
Join hands. Create a love train. Just hold hands and just have a soda.
Just have a soda together. Light a candle. Something.
Something.
Just hold hands, link arms. I don't know. Feel the connection and the similarities as opposed to the differences and the gap, the chasm, right?
Ooh, yeah. Mm. Okay. Karen and I are absolutely on the love train. We are inviting all explorers to do, was it all aboard? Like,
get
that's what we're looking for.
Get on board.
That's what we're looking for. And now it's time for our question of the day.
Cannot wait.
Karen, today's question. How do you define a culture of love? Y'all can see our face.
Like everything we just said in everything. The last 20 minutes. How do you define a culture of love? A culture of love is one of holistic acceptance.
Mm.
A culture of love has an environment of welcoming you as you are, recognizing that we're all changing and growing.
Mm.
Holistic acceptance, I guess.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. That's the definition, holistic acceptance. Mm. All right.
Yeah.
We've done it again.
Oh, God.
They play together so well. They play together. Holistic acceptance. Well. So love is about connection and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
A culture of love starts with yourself and ripples out into other people. It starts with you as a reflection of divine love. As recipients of divine love, we can't help but to create a culture of love. This culture of love is built on principles like respect and integrity. Guides our actions and our behaviors in everything that we do. We have holistic acceptance, respect, and integrity. That's Tara and Karen's culture of love.
I love it.
It becomes easier once you realize that divine connection. When you realize that love is about connection and relationships, you show up. Right. You show up accepting other people. You show up with integrity.
Right. Respecting and honoring, you know, who you're in relationship with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I actually, when you said the word integrity, like, lit me up. I was like, yes. The way that we behave, the way that we treat ourselves, the way that we respond to things, if it's with integrity, then that's how we present to the world. Integrity is great. That's wonderful.
Woo! All right.
Yes.
As we wrap up this episode, which wraps up our Loved Unveiled series and loosely a celebration of Relationship Wellness Month, let's ignite a collective movement toward being supportive and building loving environments. Creating a culture of love is not a destination. It's a journey that requires commitment, intention, and practice.
And I feel like creating culture of love is actually easier than creating culture.
Once you get out of the way, it's easy.
Right.
Get out of the way. Join hands. The OJs told us. Join hands.
That's about it.
Today's quote is from Indian lawyer, politician, social activist, and writer Mahatma Gandhi.
Love him. Love him. Love that guy.
This quote says, "Where there is love, there is life. And where there is love, there is light."
Love, light, and life. All intrinsically, inexorably, I think that's bound together.
Explorers, it's been a privilege to explore the many facets of love with you. We hope you feel inspired to communicate with intention, resolve conflicts gracefully, and prioritize self-care. Remember, love is not just a feeling. It's something we do every day. Together, we can create a world rich in love. Until next time, keep shining your light and spreading love in all you do.
And I'm going to add that love is something that you be all the time.
Be love.
Love is a many splendored thing. Let's go out and live it. Explorers, thanks for joining us. And it's just been such a wonderful journey of love with you all this month. We will see you again next time. Take good care.
Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.